History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, now might be the time to go back and learn how we got here. With more than 200 episodes, you can binge your way, decade by decade, defining event to defining event, from the founding into the 20th century. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Tuesday, Cleveland. We have the official start of NBA free agency. And one man by the name of LeBron James will certainly be a part of it. We got that news today. Definitely not going back to the Lakers. It seemed like it was trending that way yesterday, but it's now official. There's no chance of him going back to LA. And everything is on the table. We have that to break down. We got a couple of Browns conversations throughout the day. We have the Guardians playing host to the Texas Rangers that we're going to react to later in the show. And we got 4 hours to get to all of it. It's Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We have Michael Bohm on the board as well. You heard her on the 2020s. Don't work behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume with us tonight. And I do want to start with the LeBron news, right? I mean, this is obviously a big development. We talk so much about what seemed to be trending towards closer and closer. LeBron going to the Warriors yesterday. He comes out with the official statement today, as did the Lakers. Both of them posted it. LeBron will not be back. He will not be returning to LA, which has left, several options available and open. And there's been, several rattled out there. The Heat have been like the dark horse. The Warriors have obviously been a part of that. And then, of course, right in the center of it, the Cavs are right there, and the Cavs are always going to be a part of the conversation. Now, I have for days, weeks, been pretty firm on the fact that I think LeBron is coming back to Cleveland. And there's times where you have to raise your right hand in the air and probably tell maybe I was wrong. And I don't know, I'm certainly not 100% convinced that LeBron is making a homecoming, getting here for a third time and ending his career as a Cavalier. But I am more aware of the fact that that is definitely a potential to be happening. I believe that more that it could potentially happen, more so than I have at any point throughout the entirety of this offseason. Because there are so many different things in the way that this has played out that has led down this route. We initially thought, LeBron's probably going back to LA. That's the part that makes the most sense. Well, LeBron squashed that today. You initially think, well, Draymond Green yesterday declines his player option. It's to open up the idea of LeBron going to Golden State. Okay, well, not that that is completely done and out of it by any means at this point, but they signed Kristaps Porzingis, which is going to make the money much more difficult to actually navigate along with the Warriors and the cap restrictions that they have. And then it was supposed to be a package deal, along with Anthony Davis, his former teammate with the Lakers, to be sent over to Golden State and to bring a big four there that included, Draymond, Steph, and LeBron. And maybe they're trying to make Kristaps that number four piece. The Warriors are still in a pursuit of LeBron, but the Wizards basically came out, and we'll see how much they actually stick to the idea. But they said, not looking to trade Anthony Davis. We are planning on having him play out at least this upcoming season as a member of the Washington Wizards. So, it doesn't take the Warriors off the table, but it definitely puts that into, more doubt than we've had over the last day or so. And now I find myself back in the seat of, well, maybe this thing actually is possible. Maybe there is a shot that LeBron makes his way back to Cleveland, and it feels more real than it has. Because I don't think Miami makes a ton of sense. They're a dark horse for a reason. Sure, you get to go play with Giannis. I don't think the rest of that roster is built up to actually go out and compete in what's going to be the last year, maybe 2 years of LeBron's career. I don't think that you're sitting around waiting and being like, oh, roster's not that great. Let me go give me a chance to compete in the East while I have the Cavs, while I have a team that you're attached to the Heat, but you're also attached to the Cavs. Obviously, hometown state, the initial team you played for, there is a very ceremonious type of return to come back, and you're going to be beloved in Cleveland. There's going to be no question about that. So you start putting a lot of the connections together. You connect the dots, and all of a sudden, I don't know if I'm leaning like 51-49, 52-48, but it's somewhere really close to a coin flip. But for the first time today, I think that would actually probably lean towards LeBron making a homecoming to Cleveland. Again, I'm by no means guaranteeing that, but it feels like we're trending that way. And a lot of it does make sense. Justin Termini of SiriusXM NBA Radio was on the station earlier today with Ken and Anthony, and he talked about what team he thinks gives LeBron the best chance to win a title.
If LeBron were to put himself on the Cavaliers or put himself on the Heat or put himself on the Warriors, I would say his best chance of winning would be with Cleveland. He'd have a better chance of winning in Cleveland with their current supporting cast than he would if he went to this version of the Golden State Warriors, if he went to even this version of the Miami Heat, who I think, despite Giannis, are very thin.
And I think you're 100% right in Justin Termini in saying that, the Heat are thin. I mean, Andrew Wiggins, Bam, Giannis, and then it is a bunch of guys you basically don't trust. Like, I think they signed Tim Hardaway Jr. today. They have Davion Mitchell. There's really not much to speak of it beyond that. They traded away basically everything to get Giannis. They do not have a ton of flexibility. They are a thin team. And the Warriors, I mean, we can talk about it, that it's still obviously a very talented team. Steph is still really good. Draymond's still okay. And then if you were to add a Kristaps, they did add Kristaps back. But even if you were to get Anthony Davis, you're still talking about very capable players. But you're playing in the Western Conference. Like, going over and playing for Golden State, and a move that I've said does not bother me. If LeBron decides he wants to finish his career out in Golden State, by all means, you go have fun. Go ahead and do that. Right? You've given me a championship. You've given me something to celebrate. I will welcome you back with open arms. I'm not going to fight you on the idea that you would want to come back. But if you decide to go somewhere else, I'm okay. But several people have pointed to the idea. Ethan Sands did when we talked to him last night. The idea that it feels very odd. It does leave Cavs fans conflicted on the idea that that was who you went to battle with. That was, I mean, the only thing that basically stood in between you and four straight championships. And then you're going to team up with those guys at the end of your career. But again, I think even if you're sitting there playing in the West, being on the Warriors in the West is incredibly difficult. I don't see that team as a favorite. I don't see them getting past San Antonio or Oklahoma City. Yeah, I might not even see them getting past, like, am I 100% sure they can get past teams like the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves? No, like, not 100%. I wouldn't go as far to say that, even with LeBron on the roster. I think they have a good shot, but yeah, I don't think you're climbing over the top two teams. You come to the East and you join a team like the Cavs, who are in the Eastern Conference Finals. I obviously have a lot of things to fix, a lot of things to, get assistance on and to build towards this offseason. We have pointed out so many of those over the last couple of weeks, but LeBron helps fix some of those. And you are going to be a better team. I think a lot of the issues that we talk about the Cavs being, consistently in when we get to playoff time, I'm not saying they're fixed, but there is a bonus to having LeBron on your team. Donovan's not playing hard enough on defense. Playoff LeBron will make sure that Donovan's playing hard on defense or playing a hell of a lot harder than he has right now. Like, that's just the way LeBron, he is a leader. He is somebody that holds the rest of his team to a higher standard. So I think a lot of the leadership questions, a lot of the, how do you actually get these things done, right? How do you get players to change behavior that have not yet shown a willingness to change behavior? Well, bringing LeBron along for the ride certainly does help progress that. And Justin's not the only one that points out, to the Cavs. John Fanta, NBC Sports, on earlier today, as he is every Tuesday on Afternoon Drive. And he talked about LeBron coming home and how much sense it does make.
I don't feel the vibe of the Warriors move at all. They were your biggest rival for several years. I don't care that you've won a gold medal with Steph Curry. I don't care that you want to close it out with, what is basically a glorified nursing home plan if the Golden State plan were to happen. It doesn't make sense to me. To me, it makes sense for a last dance where you could go out on top. The Cavaliers are set up, if LeBron James is in the wine and gold, to contend for a championship. This is how the movie is supposed to end. This is how LeBron James can end his career with an exclamation mark.
And it's interesting because I do think that the return makes so much sense, and I agree with some of the things that John is saying. There's two parts of me that I'm conflicted on this, and not that I'm, again, denying the idea that I would want LeBron here. accept that. I will rally for it. If I have to go out and do the show on top of any building inside of Cleveland or the big banner hanging off of our show saying, please come home, LeBron. Listen, you're not going to see me stand in the way of it, okay? If that's what needs to happen, that's what will happen. We'll do it. But I get conflicted on the idea that this is an absolute bailout card for Kobe Altman. I don't really care. I'm looking to see the Cavs win a championship, but my evaluation of Kobe is going to be very difficult because I think LeBron is a bailout card. I also don't know that LeBron is the perfect fit as a wing to bring into this team. He helps you. He helps solve that issue a lot more than any other guy has, and you know the kind of play that you're getting out of LeBron, right? You don't have to question. It's not a Jonathan Kuminga move that we talked about yesterday where he's got a little bit of an attitude. How great is he offensively? Is he going to come here and average 12 points? Is he going to come here and average 18 points? Like, you have those questions. You don't have that with LeBron, but what you are looking for is a two-way wing player. LeBron at age 42 is hardly a two-way wing. He's great offensively. He's good in a couple of spurts defensively, but you're kind of looking at more, a much better version. But I can compare it to the ilk of James Harden defensively. Like when James Harden actually turns up for a defensive possession, it's okay. Like, it's fine. LeBron is very good when he actually turns up for those defensive possessions. He's obviously a much better defender individually than James Harden has ever been, will ever be, had the potential to ever be. But you kind of get a touch-and-go defense from LeBron. And he does show up in the playoffs. He does play hard. But at some point at age 42, yeah, there's possessions you have to take off. We were watching LeBron here, in the 4 years or whatever it was that he spent here, after his return. People griped about the fact that LeBron took possessions off even then, right? But you got the athletic plays. You got the great defensive plays. The block existed for a reason. But LeBron's not going to be somebody that's giving you 100% effort on defense every single possession the way that some guys are. Like, I know I'm getting 100% defense out of Dean Wade. It's a crazy comparison to make, but there are those guys in the league that I know I'm getting it from. And you are looking for more of that. So I don't know that it's a perfect fit. I don't know that it's absolutely incredible. But again, I do know that it feels more likely today than it has all off season. And if I got to lobby for it, I'm definitely going to lobby for it. 216-474-0092. Did today re-spark hope that LeBron is coming home? Plus, you can do us on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C Jake. So we get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. The station buzz, the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today, is coming your way at 7:40, as it typically does. We talked to our very own Daryl Ryder coming up at 8 o'clock tonight. We'll ask Daryl about the LeBron homecoming, some Cavs situations. We'll talk to him a little bit about the Browns. Plus, 9 o'clock tonight, Get a Grip is going to be pushed back because we're going to talk to David Shepard of SiriusXM NBA Radio about the entirety of NBA free agency. We'll also ask him about LeBron, et cetera, because we're going to react to the Guardians somewhere around the end of the 9 o'clock hour. Get a Grip will be at 10. It is a Tuesday, and that means it is a blind tier Tuesday. We'll get Michael McKenzie in for that. But right now, 216-474-0092. Did today re-spark your hope that LeBron is coming home and coming up in 5 minutes? Is it a move that...
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are gonna move. We are gonna answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That Donovan actually wants. I'll explain what I think and why that is, as well as your calls coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Asking you at 216-474-0092. Did today re-spark hope that LeBron is coming home? Because I'll be honest, for me, to some degree, it did. I was catching flack in a group chat because I was like, LeBron's probably still going to end up with the Warriors. Like, that is just the way that, especially earlier today, before we got the Anthony Davis news, I would have put it probably to like a 52-48, somewhere in that near even split, but leaning towards the Warriors. And I said last segment, I'm somewhere near that exact same split, but probably leaning towards the Cavs at this moment. But I caught a lot of flack. It was like, okay, do you have to be the thief of joy? Do you have to take it away? And I was like, listen, I'm not trying to be the Debbie Downer in this situation. That's just the way it felt. But I mean, I rebutted back into that. I was like, listen, if you want me to be positive, I'll spin you the positive. LeBron coming back to Cleveland is much more likely today than it was yesterday, and more likely today than it was 2 days ago or 2 months ago. It is becoming increasingly more likely with the moves that LeBron has made. And we have reports that LeBron is going to make this move based off of happiness. It is going to be a happiness decision. It is not going to be driven by money. And that's really good news for the Cavs because we don't have a lot of it. Now, you don't even have enough to get LeBron to a contract, because if that man signs for $4 million, I would be stunned. And that's about what the Cavs have to go off of right now. That's the money that they have freely available to sign LeBron today. There is no rush to get that move done. Ramona Shelburne reporting that earlier today, that that is the way LeBron's camp feels about this move. They are in no hurry to get this done. And when you're LeBron James, that is the luxury that you have. You don't have to be in a rush because the rest of the NBA will wait on you. Right? If it has to come down to Jaylen Brown's not getting traded, massive free agents are not going to be signed until LeBron is off the market, the rest of the NBA will wait until that happens. They will sit around. If you are in the LeBron sweepstakes, you will not blow up your team for the idea that, LeBron's not making his decision. It's put up or shut up time, and we got to go out and figure out what our next plan is. No, you'll wait for the chance to have LeBron, even at age 42. That is the type of demand that LeBron in free agency holds. So, again, it's more likely today. I do feel that way. But obviously one of the big questions that comes up with this is we have previously heard Donovan talk about the idea that, this is his team. We have heard his teammates talk about the fact that this is Donovan's team. Nobody else seems to be here. He is the leader on this team. And it draws a question of whether or not Donovan actually welcomes the return of LeBron. Is this something that Donovan wants or something that, the organization is clearly open to a reunion? And is it something that they would want in spite of, having Donovan, not having him here, but having his approval on the move, having him be fully behind, let's go ahead and bring in LeBron. And I think people, because of those comments, because of the way that it's been talked about previously, may lean to the idea that Donovan would not accept this, which is something that I don't think makes any sense. This is a move that I think Donovan not only welcomes with open arms, but the Cavs and Donovan have been trying to set this move up. Part of bringing in James Harden, was there not a report when James Harden was brought here, like in the ensuing week or two, that was like, oh, well, their plan heading into next offseason is going to be to attempt to recruit LeBron back into Cleveland? Because that's what I remember it being. That was the understanding that I had, that this was going to be a big thing. It's what started so much of this conversation towards the end of last year and the idea that LeBron could come home. Is that, they went out and they got James Harden, and they're trying to build something to win right now, and LeBron might want to be a part of that, and now it's up to the team to go through and actually show progress, show a team that is worthy of, hey, LeBron, maybe you could fix this and get it over the hump. And that team got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, the rest of the East is getting better. They are improving. We saw the Raptors go and pick up Kawhi for Brandon Ingram, Grady Dick, and a handful of picks. But they went out and got Kawhi. Like, the Raptors are better now today than they were yesterday. They are better than when we faced them a couple months ago now in the opening round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. That is a team that is very close, probably a big man away to being a legitimate contender. We've talked about the other teams. Boston's going to be more competitive probably than they were this year. New York's not going anywhere, right? Miami got Giannis, and it's not a team I fear, but they're still sitting around. Detroit's looking to get better. I don't know how they're going to do it losing Jalen Duren, but they're trying to get better. There's going to be a ton of teams in the East looking to make improvements. Stars around the league are not, aside from the fact they're not dumb, they're paying attention and knowing, hey, it's a lot easier if I move over to the East to try and go make an NBA Finals right now than it is trying to compete in the West. So it is going to be stronger, but to have a team go to the Eastern Conference Finals, I would say that is enticing enough for LeBron to look at and say, yeah, I think I probably could make a difference. I could definitely get this team to the NBA Finals. We could try to win an NBA Finals. Might be still difficult, but we can get there. So I don't think that's something that is going to be written off by LeBron. And again, by playing in the East, I think you have that opportunity. But again, this is where I think we have seen NBA players in the past have an ego. Right? I mean, right back to Kyrie when he was here and he decided that he was going to leave because he wanted to be the leader of a team. Well, Kyrie had never had an opportunity to be a leader of a team with legitimate playoff aspirations, right? When he was the leader of the Cavs, that was the, abysmal Cavs post-LeBron era team. That even the couple years that Kyrie was here without him, that team had no chance of winning anything, didn't matter how great Kyrie was. He never had that opportunity to lead a team himself, which he eventually got. I think if you ask Kyrie today, could he go back and do it over? He would tell you he probably would. He would stick it out. He would value the championships. He would value the chance to go to an NBA Finals. He is reportedly by himself made up with those teammates. Donovan hasn't had that experience, though. Donovan has known nothing else besides this is my team. And what I've been conveying the entire offseason is I've watched Donovan do this for almost a decade of not getting the job done. Right, being the leader, not being able to get his team to a conference finals. Now that he's gotten his team to a conference finals, still has not crossed off the checklist of get a win in that series. Why you would want to walk away and be like, no, it still has to be my team. I have to be the leader is something that I wouldn't understand. And the type of messaging that I don't expect that I would get from Donovan. I think that he would be embracing the idea of bring LeBron here. These guys talk about we want to win a title. And yeah, you might want to win it your way, but your way is not working right now. So what's more important to you? Is it winning a title, being the number one guy, or is it winning a title by any means necessary? Because I'd like to think it's going to be by any means necessary. There's a reason Donovan was, still on board with the idea that you move Darius for James Harden. Bring in somebody that is more star power. Bring in somebody who is going to be playing alongside of you and draw a lot more attention. Because I want to win a title by any means necessary. I think that's the type of mentality we're walking into and the type of mentality Donovan should absolutely have. You have to be sitting here willing to go to the lengths of, yeah, get LeBron back, let it be his team if that's what it is, and that's the way it's going to be viewed around the NBA. Any team that LeBron is on, it is still LeBron's team. When he was in LA with Luka, still LeBron's team. After we saw the report today, LeBron not going back to the Lakers, I can't tell you how many posts I saw on social media where it's like, and now the Luka Doncic era of the Los Angeles Lakers begins. It's like, well, he was already there. But yeah, it was LeBron's team. It's always going to be LeBron's team. So that is the way this will be. LeBron will be the leader. Donovan will play second fiddle, in that kind of category. But it is something that should be welcomed. I want to hear from you guys. 216-474-0092. Do you think that Donovan would welcome a LeBron return? Let's go out to the phones, and our good friend Thomas is in Shaker Heights. What's going on, Thomas?
To answer your first question, the answer is yes. I don't understand. That's not a question. Okay, Donovan Mitchell grew up a fan of LeBron James so much that he was a Cavaliers fan. Like Donovan Mitchell loved LeBron. Like I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but just from everything gathering from Donovan, I wouldn't understand why Donovan Mitchell wouldn't want LeBron back. Because one, Donovan Mitchell grew up a big LeBron fan. He tweeted about him many times back in the day. I remember this report on the Four Letter Network where Kendrick said that James Harden and Donovan Mitchell ran to the front desk of Dan Gilbert and begged Dan Gilbert to bring LeBron back. This was back in... He made a statement about 2.5 months ago.
Right.
You can find that on the internet. So I don't think that he just pulled it out of nowhere. So I do think that there's been something in the works with him coming back to Cleveland for a minute. So I do think LeBron's coming back. The Warriors thing do scare me. But the same thing is I do think that we give him a better chance to win a championship than the Warriors would. And the James Harden not signing the contract and waiting for LeBron thing, I think that's very encouraging for many reasons because James Harden has been in the league for a long time. And it makes a lot of sense. So I do think that there's a very high chance that he comes home. Plus, he's here right now, chilling. He can listen to his radio station right now. So I do think LeBron's coming back. Come on home, LeBron. Come on back. Bring my boy back.
Listen, I'm all for it, Thomas. I hope he's listening right now. We've been saying nice things about him. I appreciate the call very much. I think that, again, like there are so many signs that point to it. And listen, the idea of, I'm sure if you're LeBron going and playing with Steph and Draymond, everything is fun. Those are guys that, yes, you battled with in the NBA Finals for 4 years running, but obviously connections that he's grown closer to with, Team USA over the Olympics and just of years of playing alongside of each other, on opposing teams. But the same thing is, I think the James Harden point is actually really big in this. We had played the clips a couple of weeks ago from the Earn Your Leisure podcast with James Harden, where he talked about he's done sacrificing. That's not what he's going to do. He's given up too much money, too much swagger, too much of this and that to go through and do that. And yet we still see James Harden right now looking like he's in the position to take a pay cut. Now, I don't know that James Harden is taking a pay cut to bring in Jonathan Kuminga. Like, if you're going to go out in that limb and say those type of words and legitimately mean them, you're not taking a pay cut to bring Jonathan Kuminga here. You think you can get it done on your own. You think you're a good enough player. The one guy that I'm sure would have no problem changing your mind is if the front office went to you and they go, we're going to heavily pursue LeBron, and we think there's a really good chance he could be here. I think if you're any player in the NBA at that point, if you're Donovan, now you don't have to sign your extension and take a pay cut because that's not necessary right now. But if you're Donovan and they asked you to do that, would you take a pay cut? I think you absolutely would. I think if you're any player in the NBA, you pretty much take that pay cut for the opportunity to play alongside LeBron and the instant opportunity to go out and be a contender and try and compete for a title. I don't think anybody in that front office, anybody in that building is unaware of the fact that they're just not that close. Right? They're close, but they're not that close. They've gotten to an Eastern Conference Finals, but it never really felt like you had a great chance to win a title while you were playing in it. So you can see that. You can feel that while you're playing in the game. If you're Donovan, if you're James, if you're anybody on that team. Again, that is the type of player that James Harden is willing to give a pay cut for. And I agree. I mentioned the report just a couple of minutes ago that I don't think Perk's lying in that. I don't know that they ran to Dan Gilbert and said it, but I think that was part of the conversation of James Harden coming here. I think that's part of the conversation after is, hey, if we build this thing up, if we have enough star power, enough proven veterans, and have a good enough roster around us, could we get LeBron here next year? This isn't a one-year plan. Part of getting James Harden here was, hey, we're going to build this thing out. You're going to get an extended contract. You're going to get some job security and an opportunity to go out and compete while you do it. I'd like to think that part of that was figuring out how to get the roster better in the next couple of years. And if we're being honest, because it definitely didn't happen because of tampering, wink, wink, nudge. But I'm sure there was some conversation, some luring coming there on the side of LeBron. This is not something that he just decided he was going to leave the Lakers with no real plan. LeBron doesn't make those kind of moves. There was something in the works, whether it be Golden State and Cleveland, whether it just be Cleveland, there is something going on in the works that LeBron has had an idea of what he is going to do. That I fully believe. 216-474-0092. With Donovan Mitchell, welcome a LeBron return. I think yes, but I want to hear from you guys. Plus, we're also going to hear from our most pressing things that were said by our station's guests today with the Station Buzz coming your way in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Our very own Daryl Ryder going to be joining us coming up here at 8 o'clock. We'll talk all things LeBron potentially coming back home. We'll talk some Browns with Daryl. All the good stuff. Again, coming your way here in about 17 minutes. But we got more things to get to. A lot of conversation on the station today. Some of it relating to the Browns, a little bit of a quarterback battle. Some of it relating to LeBron and the Cavs. And to take a listen to all of it, let's go ahead and get to the most pressing things said by our station's guests today with the Station Buzz.
Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
All right, let's kick things off, and we start with Cleveland's very own John Fanta, NBC Sports, on today with Afternoon Drive, and he talked about, what LeBron's decision is actually going to be based off of.
The happiness decision, it's Cleveland, Ohio. He's never going to be happier than he will be at home. He'll never be happier than he is at home. Also, are we happy about winning a championship, or are we happy about a first-round exit in the Western Conference playoffs, or maybe a second-round exit in the Western Conference playoffs? The Golden State Warriors are not winning a title if LeBron James goes to Golden State. I'm not going to sit here and say that the Cavaliers are just winning a championship, guarantee it, and all that. I can tell you this much, and what do you two think? LeBron's chance is greater in Cleveland of being a championship contender or Golden State? If it was a happiness decision exclusively, why wouldn't you just stay in Hollywood?
I mean, and that's a really good point, right? I don't think that this is something that boils down to pure happiness. Now, LeBron's relationship with the Lakers didn't seem all that great by the end of it. Not that it was bad, but there were definitely some bumps in the road, and they tried to smooth, I think, a lot of that over with drafting Bronny, and I think the Lakers thought that probably went a lot farther of a degree to make LeBron happy than it legitimately did. But I think John brings up a good point. LeBron has never struck me as somebody who is just going to go somewhere where, you know, he puts a smile on my face, makes me really happy to go there. I just enjoy being there. Part of it also comes down to winning. And I don't think that Golden State has a chance. We talked about it to lead off yesterday's show. Like, I am going to shrug my shoulders at the idea of LeBron going to Golden State because, again, go do whatever makes you happy. Go do whatever you want to do. But I also don't think you're winning a title. Like, if you came out of the Western Conference Finals and you faced the Cavs in the finals, one, I'd be surprised we got there. Two, sure, then I'd be angry, but I don't think you're getting there. Like, that's the only chance of actually being upset by it. And I just don't think it would happen. But I agree that I don't think this is money driven. If LeBron wanted the most money he could get, I think he probably could have just stayed in LA. I think there was a decent amount of money sitting there for you. I think of the teams that are right now we're talking about, you know, showing interest, Golden State doesn't have a boatload of money. The Cavs certainly don't have a boatload of money. Miami doesn't either. So of the teams that are, we think, at least in the running to go out and land LeBron James, it's not a money decision. And I think if you are looking for a little bit of happiness in this, going back home, being able to play in front of a fan base that, you know, no matter what happens, is going to support you religiously, I think that goes a long way. Like, I think that does make you happy. It is a place where you can win. So if all the things we're being told is actually factored into LeBron's decision, I think a lot of that lanes you in Cleveland. But again, I think he liked being out in LA. I think his family and himself, they enjoy California. So if that's the leading factor in this, if you want to play where you live and you want to play where you end up wanting to live probably post your career, then yeah, you could have just stayed and, I mean, made that life out in California. But that seems about the only thing alongside of playing with Steph that actually gets you to be happy out in Golden State. All right, Justin Termini, SiriusXM NBA Radio, also on this morning with Ken and Anthony, and he talked about Jaylen Brown's trade value and the potential trades that have been floated about between the Cavs and Celtics in order to acquire Brown.
Donovan Mitchell, to me, is a better player than Jaylen Brown. Plus, you're dealing with a guy that's not going to be like a bit of a distraction. Jaylen Brown, I think one of the reasons that Boston wants to move him is they're sick of all the off the court, like whining and playing victim and, you know, not necessarily accepting his role where it's like Jason Tatum's clearly the best, you know, but Jaylen Brown wants the credit for being the best. I would not do that if I was Cleveland. And I think Boston in a heartbeat would do either a trade for Donovan Mitchell or for Evan Mobley. NBA team's apparent lack of interest in Jaylen Brown at the age of 29, after he finished sixth in the MVP award voting, says a lot more than like any analytic can say about how bad Jaylen Brown is. Like, let me ask you, if Jaylen Brown is so good, why are teams so hesitant to deal for him?
I think it's a really interesting point made by Justin. Now, I would still be on the boat, and it is more in a you're not getting LeBron world, but even maybe in one where you are, I would still personally make the Donovan for Jaylen Brown swap. I think that Jaylen is probably a better all-around player than Donovan is right now, but I think they're relatively close. We're definitely on the same page that I'm not making that move, but yes, it is interesting. Like, I think part of it, and we're going to talk about it and get a grip at 10 o'clock, but like, I think part of this is the Celtics having talked about Jaylen Brown for several years now being in trade talks and potentially moving off of him. I think part of it is definitely Jaylen Brown's own demeanor and wanting to be the star and the attitude that comes alongside of that. But I mean, it's odd that there is this much hesitancy when we have a great player that is a wing that basically covers everything you want. He'll play good on ball defense. He is he can create his own shot. He's not the best 3-point shooter in the world, but he's respectable out there. All of those signs would point to that guy should be demanding a ton on the market. A guy that finished in sixth in MVP voting should be demanding a ton on the market, and he just isn't. And there's not a ton of people flocking to go get Jaylen Brown. Doesn't seem like teams are flying off the hinges to try to find a way to land him. It feels more like Boston trying to get rid of him and teams being like, We'll give you something for him, but we're not going to blow up our team and restructure it around Jaylen Brown to get it done. He is going to be the second piece in this. He might still be the best player on the team, but we're pairing him with another superstar, and we're not giving up our entire future or our entire current to go out and get him. I think that's what Boston wants. But, yeah, I mean, I probably would still move Donovan for him. I would definitely consider that. Evan's a different story, but it's a little interesting. All right, let's talk a little Browns. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with Baskin and Phelps today. And she was talking about the Browns and the rumors floating about that the Browns are actively shopping Shador.
I just don't believe that at this time at all they're even thinking along those lines. This is a legitimate two-way competition between Deshaun and Shador. And perhaps what happens, and maybe sometimes this is how these reports happen, is sometimes when you're talking to teams about another move, maybe someone might inquire and say, hey, what's going on with your quarterback situation? But I don't think that they are, I know they're not actively at all trying to shop Shador Sanders while they're ready to head into this quarterback competition. So no, I'm just not feeling that at this time. And I've written and said, once they get to around August 30th and they have to make those roster decisions, that's when you start to look at what you have, where you might have a surplus, how you might be able to get a fifth or a sixth round pick for some of your players. So that's when we would start to think about that.
It is really interesting because Mary Kay lays out a definitive no, they are not shopping Shador Sanders. They are not looking to trade him at this point in time. But the back end of it also didn't, I mean, completely rule out the idea that Shador loses a quarterback competition, the Browns would consider trading him. Right? August 30th, you make your decision, you have your quarterback. Now everything's on the table. I mean, I tend to believe Mary Kay. I don't think anything's probably happening right now. I don't think that the Browns are actively out there trying to get rid of, you know, Shador as fast as they can and trade him off of the roster. But the idea that that's still on the table is also baffling to me. Even if Deshaun wins a job, even if you think he's fantastic, how in any world do you think you have the luxury to move on from Shador with where Deshaun is sitting in terms of health and where he has been the last few years? I mean... You can't trust Deshaun to make it through an entire season. I would at least like to have the backup and the idea of Shador there, but I don't know that this is something that the Browns legitimately even consider, and there's still the opportunity that he wins the job. I don't know why you're even looking to trade a quarterback that could have won the job in what is widely considered one of the worst quarterback rooms in the NFL. Like, you have a ton of options, but it's not like he's going to go somewhere else to start. You're not going to get premium draft capital for him. Even if you took it up to week one, the wire of the season, you're probably not getting premium draft capital. I'm sure other teams would feel much more comfortable saying, hey, we already had a backup that was in here learning the offense along with the team this entire ride, not let me go trade for Shador and immediately try to get him up to speed. Like, this isn't Joe Flacco. This isn't a guy who's been in the league for 15 years. And it's like, oh yeah, he could go pick up an offense. Aaron Rodgers could sign to the Browns tomorrow. Obviously not possible, but he could. I'd be like, yeah, you could start him week one. Like, it wouldn't even be a big deal. You could sign him the day before the season starts. I'd be like, just put him out there. Just trust. And this is old Aaron Rodgers. Still go out and trust that he's going to find a way and he's going to make correct decisions. He knows how to read a defense. He knows how to command an offensive line. They'll figure it out. Maybe you wait a week. Maybe you wait 2 weeks, but you can get him out there very quickly. That doesn't happen with Shador. I don't see what team's going to trade for him at that point. I think he's probably likely here for the long haul, and I think he's definitely here for the immediate. All right, Albert Breer of the MMQB on today with Afternoon Drive, as he is every Tuesday at 5:20, and he talked about the Browns defense and the impact losing a player like Myles Garrett and a coach like Jim Schwartz has on it.
I'm certainly not going to sit here and tell you that there's going to be any sort of addition by subtraction or anything like that. That's not going to be the case. He's the best player on defense in football. I mean, I think he's as good at his job as anyone in football, and losing him is going to hurt. You know, I do really like Jared Verse, and so I think that was a really solid acquisition, and I think they're going to be able to put together something that's good. But, I mean, look, like, you got, again, the best defensive player in football. You got one of the best defensive coaches in football over the last quarter century. Like, one of the guys who's been, you know, the forefront really going back to the year 2000. I think that was the year he became the coordinator in Tennessee. You know, I think there's going to be an effect to that. And it does not mean Mike Rutenberg or Jared Verse. Like, that is not, it's not in the front against either of those guys. But, you know, I think with Rutenberg, you're definitely projecting a little bit.
I think it's interesting. Ben Solak, obviously, writing about Rutenberg putting a different spin and a fresh eyes and a fresh new look on this defense. But I agree with Albert. Like, I have as many questions about Rutenberg being able to succeed as I do any first-time coordinator or any first-time head coach. It's not to doom him. It's not to say that things are going to look bad, but it is tough to replace Jim Schwartz. It is tough to expect this defense to play at the same level without Myles Garrett, and they can still be really good. Rutenberg can be incredible, but if you're not skeptical coming into this season, I mean, you're probably living in fantasy land. You have to question it. You have to wonder what Rutenberg's actually doing, the changes that he's making. I like to think a lot of those are probably for the better. The Browns were a very, I mean, obviously talented and incredible defense with Myles Garrett as a pass rusher. They also ran a really simple concept that they were set up to run. They're going to run something similar, but if you can add wrinkles to that, if you can add additional, you know, play a little bit more zone at times, disguise your coverages a little bit more, that in theory should be allowed to help you. Like, I see where Ben Solak is coming from, but I also see Albert's point of, when you're losing Miles, when you're losing, you know, Jim Schwartz, there should be an expected regression, and you do have to project out with everything you're expecting out of Rudy. You don't know what you're getting. He's never been a coordinator. You just don't have an answer, and we're not going to have one until the season gets going. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, our very own Daryl Ryder are going to break down everything happening around the Cleveland sports scene right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Fantasy football season is back, baby. Matthew Berry here, and my podcast, Fantasy Football Happy Hour, has the sleepers, busts, and starts and advice you need to win your league. So listen and follow Fantasy Football Happy Hour wherever you get your podcasts.